There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right. Away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you along for another couple hours of live local talk. And we'll talk more about how to get in touch with the show in just a second. Also talk about our guests this first hour. But I have to stop because the USA Radio News just had a story about a farm in England that is trying to urge the visitors to stop posing naked for photographs among the sunflower fields. Okay, so they got obviously an issue there. People like to go get in their birthday suit and get in the sunflower field. I was thinking, what is our equivalent around here? Because in West Mobile County, in Baldwin County, and a lot of places throughout Alabama, by another month or so, the cotton fields will look very, very pretty. See, August, September, about a month and change, 6 weeks. They will look very pretty, and the dirt roads and the paved roads of Mobile and Baldwin County will be lined up with people coming to get their picture made in amongst the cotton. It's, you know, when the cotton's high, they get out there and they pose everybody up, and everybody's got like the matching outfits or whatever, the family picture. I just hope that this doesn't become a problem here in the States, like it is in England, that we'll have to put out warnings that, hey, come take your picture, but keep your clothes on. Like in the sunflower field there, it's an issue, but I didn't know if that was going to be a thing for cotton fields here in AL1. Speaking of which, listen to this segue. AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl. And is there something we can do, Congressman, ahead of time to prevent nude cotton field photos?
I have no comment.
It's just a thing in England. I don't know if it's going to move over here, it's going to be a thing or not. I'm just making everybody aware of it.
You know, everybody takes pictures in the cotton fields now. You see a lot of families do it.
Yeah, you and I don't live too far from each other, right? And there's a lot of cotton fields. This year, they doubled up peanuts for a couple of years, but like most people are in cotton this year. I mean, a lot of people driving the roads around us getting their pictures made.
Yeah, a lot of gorgeous family pictures. I don't know how the farmers feel about it. I wouldn't think that they would like the cotton being stomped, but
right. Yeah, if y'all do that, stay out of the farmer's cotton. Just stay on the edge there of the cotton and get your picture made. Don't walk off into the dang cotton.
Please don't.
Okay, so there.
Wear your clothes.
And wear your clothes. So just a warning as we get started. And reminder as well, you can get in touch with us right here at FM Talk 106.5 with a good old-fashioned phone call at 343-0106. Also works for the Ascension Technologies text line, 343-0106. And if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us one of those talkback messages by just pressing the microphone icon on the front page. Also want to say this. Here's a government story. If you heard the situation in California with the flooding, and I think you can use the term unprecedented for the rainfall they're having out there. I know in some communities, they talked about Riverside, California, they had sand and sandbags. I know this, that out in the Coachella Valley there, because I have family has property out there, they've got sand but no sandbags. They've got the sand piled up but no sandbags. So it's government.
I have no comment on that one. I mean, that's part of the county's job, is it not?
Yeah.
To be prepared for that kind of stuff, especially when you know it's coming a week in advance.
Yeah, they might have needed to do that. All right, a lot to talk about here. Let's go to Washington first, Congressman, and then we'll bring it back issues here at home. Listen to the reports this morning that Weiss wasn't going to charge Hunter Biden until the whistleblowers came forward. Who knew? I thought that was kind of like when the whistleblowers came out, the IRS whistleblowers came out. I thought it was kind of icing on the cake, maybe. But it sounds like this report out today that they might not have been a charge for Hunter Biden if they hadn't come out.
We would never have this conversation if the whistleblowers hadn't come out. Jamie will tell you that, Jamie Comer. And you look at the Biden stuff and look at Weiss. I mean, Weiss was a very close friend of Bo Biden.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been kept in the family, if nothing else. So we need to – Jamie's doing an incredible job. I was talking to another congressman last night. in relation to that. I mean, he is taking that between him and Jim Jordan, and they're working themselves to death all through while we're at home working in our districts.
Right.
They're still up there setting up for interviews and things to investigate.
And now to have Weiss in a position to be working on this investigation, I mean, it's just flies in the face of at least what I think is makes sense to have a real prosecution of this.
Well, you know, and what I try to tell folks, you know, as far as the House, we write laws. We don't enforce laws.
Right.
So we're in a strange position here that we're having to collect all the information for the DOJ. Now we've got to somehow motivate them into start investigating. And in defense of them, I'll say this. You don't know what they're doing. There may be an investigation going on that we know absolutely nothing about. And for the sake of this country, I certainly hope that's the case. But if they are, hopefully they're using the information we're pulling or Jamie's pulling together. But you know, there's a lot of things that are still yet to come out. A few things that I know about that I'm not privy to talk about. But the big stuff is certainly hitting the fan. Tying that to Joe Biden is the secret. Once Joe's name is tied to any of that money, it's a done deal. It's over.
And I want to come back too, because Comer's saying, hey, there's these other bank accounts that we got to look at, and you know, like, hey, something's coming.
There's two accounts that they fought very, very hard to keep anybody from looking at.
Okay.
Some of the early ones we got in quite easily, but these last two, they're fighting tooth and toenail to keep anybody from getting access to. So common sense tells me that there's got to be more there than was in the previous accounts.
So you say then it's a done deal. If that comes out and the name of the president is tied in there, when you say it's a done deal, what happens?
Well, the DOJ has got to pick it up at that point. I mean, this country will be flipped on its head.
New York Times turning against Biden.
I know it. I mean, everyone. I was watching CNN, and I try to watch all the news to kind of get a feel for what people are thinking and the direction they're going. Even CNN's turning on the Biden. So,
which a lot of people will say, Congressman, well, that's part of the plan because they're trying to get Biden out to usher somebody else in to be a winning candidate for 2024.
Well, I want justice to be served here. And if it takes 3 years down the road to serve justice, I still want justice, period. I mean, if they literally took money and they have jeopardized the safety of this country, somebody needs to pay for that.
People wonder, too, is this the reason that former President Obama did not immediately back Joe Biden and kind of chose Hillary in that last cycle, that maybe there was some knowledge here that this would be something like this could come out?
I think there's so many unknowns here. Nothing would surprise me to find out that to be the case. It wouldn't surprise me a bit.
Timeline on this, then, you think we're looking at?
We're pushing. I know Jamie's pushing. I keep hearing he's got access, but I haven't seen anything yet. But they'll try to get it. They'll try to get it in the next 60, 90 days. They'll if they can get their hands on it even quicker, they will.
It's going to be so. It would be something we would see before the end of the year.
Oh yeah, I would think so. But we're not going to quit. I mean, the end of the year doesn't mean we'll quit.
Sure, I'm trying to get an idea.
Yeah.
You said something too. You want to see justice served? I've said this so many times. With whatever October surprises get rolled out in presidential cycles, you get all this hubbub and this big things going on, and then once you get past the election, it's like, eh. If it's enough to bring it up, then prosecute it.
Yeah, but if you got the commandant over in the Marine Corps that is taking money from another country, that's calling the shots, dealing with that country, you would ask, and the old my grandfather would say, you'd ask for the scalp.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't quit on this one. I mean, we've got to set precedents here. I mean, everyone calls, you know, if you're a politician or elected official, you're a crook and a criminal, and I get used to that. You know, we all get used to that. But I think this shoe fits. I think we might ought to make sure both of them get put on him.
All right. We'll keep our eyes on it. Coming right back, more with AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl. Your questions welcome at 343-0106, 343-0106 for a phone call or the Ascension Technologies text line. Glad to have you along. We'll be right back.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Let me just update something I said at the beginning of the show from the Ascension Technologies text line. Lisa in Robertsdale said, I've seen a ton of people taking pictures in the sunflower fields in Summerdale. Thank God they have their clothes on. You know, a lot of sunflowers are waiting for dove season. They'll get started next month. Right now, people might be posing up for the pictures. In England, it's not here, but England, if y'all didn't catch it, there's a problem with people being naked in the sunflower fields. Buddy says there's a sunflower field in the curve of the Beach Express where the planes that pull signs just take off from. I don't know if Buddy has seen any naked sunflower posing there. But my big worry was that it may transfer into cotton fields, you know, because everybody shows up, October or so to get their pictures made there at the cotton field. And would they generally, I think they all have their clothes on, but we don't know if they're going to take their cue from England or not. IT Jesus thinks the same as I do on the text line. He said, naked and cotton don't sound like a good time, being that they have thorns. Yes, that would not be a scratchy picture out there. All right, we continue our conversation, if you'll still talk to me, with AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl, and a lot to talk about here. And we'll get your questions from the text line and the phone line, and we'll go to the phones first from downtown Fowl River. It's Charlie. Charlie, you're on with Congressman Carl.
Good to hear your voice, Congressman. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing? I almost called you by your title. I'm going to stay away from that. But I appreciate you.
Yes, I think that's probably wise.
Yes, sir.
I agree with you, but I just don't think there's going to be a prosecution of Joe Biden. I like the way it's queuing up, but I think you're right. I think he's going to walk away and say, I've been diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Exactly. Exactly right. I've been saying that for the last 2 years.
Question for both of y'all, though. If he does that, does the DOJ then? I mean, the DOJ is not in a PR world. I mean, they got a job to do, right?
DOJ would still have to go after Hunter. Would still have to answer those questions.
No, I agree with that. But I just think he's going to walk away.
Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
I do. I just do think he's going to walk away, no matter. And he's going to wait until all of it's out there and ride the horse as long as he can. But is Michelle going to run?
I don't think so. I know some people pretty close to her, and they say she's really fed up with politics right now.
I can see that.
I think Newman from California is going to be probably the front runner there. He's going to have a hard time selling his very liberal San Francisco and liberal California ways, and in the up and down the East Coast, for that matter, not just the conservative states.
I agree with you, and Congressman, it's super good to talk to you.
Charlie, thank you so much for all the research you do on China. He really keeps me, he does a lot of digging on China and feeds me a lot of information that normally would not get. You want to ask a question?
Yeah, I do. I mean, if we have somebody who's been watching this. So, yes. Charlie, hearing the stories where I think it was actually the discussion of the moon landing and Russia's failure, but India's possible success, that the economies of those two Asian nations are so very different that India's on the build. And then the story came out, I don't know, it was WSJ over the weekend or something, that kind of stagnant maybe was the word they used for China's economy. What are you seeing?
China is in a very horrible circumstance. They're in deflation. All of their young graduates from colleges are not getting jobs. There's no job market at all for the youth of China. And it's just, their entire real estate market, there is a big company called Evergrande, and they have absolutely, well, on the 17th of this month, they filed for bankruptcy in New York. And these are the people that have taken money from the working class in China to build a condominium for them. They have already paid for them. They went into bankruptcy, and they started bulldozing down these condominiums, and the people are just left hanging. There's some very serious questions whether there's going to be an uprising over that.
That's really that was part of our conversation was what's it going to do on a local basis? Because you're affecting people and their money. So,
but guys, I would worry about the flip side too. For some reason, to rally around the red flag or to get an economy moving, that China becomes even more aggressive, does something, you know, more dangerous because
that's in the cards. That's certainly in the cards. I mean, a war economy bolsters an economy. There's no question.
So,
possible.
Thank you, Charlie.
Appreciate the call. Charlie leaves the line open at 343-0106, 343-0106. Back here at home, of course, this is a conversation that I think every time you and I have talked here over the last three or four times, I've asked you about the possibility of a newly drawn AL-1. I called it, and I think it's been picked up, the Dauphin Island to Dothan District. Mm-hmm. Congressman, your thoughts on that?
You know, we worked so hard. I grew up in the 60s, and we worked so hard to get away from race-related stuff. And this is typical government. They want to pull us right back into that, and they're allowing it to happen. It's all race-based that they want to do this. What's going to happen? We don't know. We'll probably know this week for sure. The judges will make their decision. They'll either have them redrawn or we'll stay with what we've got. I'm like most everybody else. Just give me the lines and let me run. But from a personal standpoint, I just find it very discouraging when the federal government does everything based on race, but yet they want us to run our businesses and our personal life, but not based on race or not based on sex or not based on true identity. They want us to fall in a different category than they do, and I find that disturbing, very disturbing. I spoke to a young group the other day, and it was all young people in the room, and they started talking to me about diversity, and it was room full of engineers, and there were two of them just getting all upset because of diversity, and they're screaming and pointing around the room. They're talking about diversity this, diversity that, and I said, well, what y'all do for a living? You're engineers? By George, I hope you're the best and the smartest in this room.
Sure.
Regardless of what race or sex you are, and we've got to get back to common sense, just common sense. We're past that. Well, they're trying to drag us back in the 60s with this, and that's what's happening.
Well, I mean, the argument I've made the whole time, and obviously, I mean, there's the law and the VRA and all that, but I have more in common. This is me. I have more in common with somebody who lives in my neighborhood or in my same city, no matter what our skin color is or our sex, than I do with somebody who has my skin color and sex who lives over on the Georgia line. It just it leaves me bothered. We have a diminished ability to be represented in a group that has commonality.
My biggest fear, they'll cut Mobile County up. They'll take north part of Mobile County, which theoretically the winner of that district, which that'll be District 2, theoretically that winner will come out of Montgomery. So you've got somebody in Montgomery representing the business community, which will be Austell, which will be Airbus, which will be, you know, your downtown business districts out of Montgomery. And as we well know, we fight for every dime we can get in South Alabama. So that's not going to work too well. That is my biggest fear, is the county being chopped up.
Well, and you know, it's not that, I mean, Mobile and Baldwin County were not always together, but they've been together since I've been paying attention.
Yes.
And, I mean, the commonalities are so strong out there.
We have people that live here and work in Baldwin County, live in Baldwin County, work in Mobile. I mean, it's back and forth. One time, I through the county commission, I checked numbers. It's about 50-50. People that live here and work there or live there and work here. So we have so much in common. I mean, we share that. But again, it's all back to the race thing, and that really disturbs me. And I know the NAACP and a lot of the black organizations are pushing it. You know, they want to make victims out of everybody. I'm tired of people being victims. Let's be Americans. Let's stand up. Let's, you know, it'll take a tragedy, a national disaster, for us to wake up one day and go, we're different. Sean, you and I are different. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got facial hair. I couldn't grow a beard if I had to. But being different doesn't mean that we have to go at war with one another. We can be different and still be neighbors. But the direction we're going is back to the 60s, and that's one thing that really frustrates me about this whole. And I was laying in bed last night, had a 3:30. I had to get up 3:30 this morning to do a TV interview. Got to try that one more.
Wow.
Yeah, so but I'm laying in bed last night at 12:30, still trying to go to sleep, thinking about these lies and how wrong it is.
And we'll come back more with Congressman Jerry Carl right here on Midday Mobile. Go to the phones at 343-0106. Ascension Technologies text line, same phone number.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1234, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Our guest, AL1's Congressman, as currently drawn, Jerry Carl. It could be campaigning to Dothan.
Could be.
Wiregrass meets Southwest Alabama. You know, I think the flip side will be, Congressman, what you said, that the AL2 representative, if you look at those plaintiffs' maps and those, the political power base for there probably will be Montgomery. But the flip side is, too, I would tell people in Dothan, it's been nice having your own representation, because you're not going to get it anymore, because the power base to me is right here.
Well, you can say that, but I've always had businesses in Dothan and around Dothan areas. I'm used to burning those roads up. And Escambia County, for example, I've already got events set up there. I've had made connections. We know for sure Escambia County is going to, Covington County.
Is
going to be new in my district for sure, either way it goes. So I've already started entrenching myself there, trying to get folks comfortable. Hopefully it doesn't go this way. The last thing we need is member on member running against one another, which would be, you know, Barry Moore. I think Barry's on Jeff's show in the morning. He's going to say the same thing. Last thing we want is to run against one another.
Right.
Just not a good scenario. But I'll represent the folks in Dothan. I'll represent wherever I get elected to represent. I'll make sure of that. I mean, that's just in my DNA.
Let's go to the phones at 343-0106. And Chris is in Orange Beach. Hey, Chris, you're on with Congressman Carl.
Hello?
Hello, yeah, Chris, it's you.
Hey, brother, what's up?
Hey, man, you're on with Congressman Carl.
Mr. Carl, I know I'm playing with windmills here, but why can't we get our leaders to act like the adults that they are and just get together and stop all this war? You know, I mean, nothing good is going to come from it. You and I both know that.
When you speak of war, what are you talking about? Help me focus in a little closer.
The inevitable of what's going on with China, with Russia.
Oh, I agree with that. But we've got an administration that's just had horrible, horrible conversations with China. Everything is broke down. The Trump administration, they fear Trump. And those countries, they elect their leaders based on fear, believe it or not, because they want a strong, bold person. And they view that strong, that boldness in that person, which most people would call fear, they find great comfort in that. So our administration we got now has got no boldness and certainly does not have any fear dripping or running from them at any point, place, and time. Nobody's fearful of them. In fact, we're the laughing stock of the country at this moment, the world.
Of the world,
yep,
yes.
Yep.
You know,
and I agree with you. If it was me, if I was president for the day, I'd go to China. I'd ask for a meeting just one-on-one and sit down and actually talk through some issues. They need stuff of us. We need stuff of them. Let's work together, and they can feed their nation. We can put away some of our military readiness that we're just racing trying to get caught up on. Because we are behind. We are very much behind. So,
and
we will. But we've got to have a different president to do that. We've got to have a different mindset. All this president's focused on is, of course, his personal problems right now and environmental issues. Everything is, you know, an environmental crazy up in Washington.
Thank you for your time, sir, and your service.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
But back to the conversation we had before the news. A weakened China, a China in some kind of fiscal cliff scares me. Watching history over time, that's when you see nations often act out. Outside of what they would do if China was flush with money, they wouldn't probably risk maybe trying to take Taiwan.
Well, they're not flush with money.
That's what I'm saying. If they were, they probably wouldn't risk it. If times are
My food of thought on that's just the opposite. I mean, we justify roughly 50-60% of their total. Cash flow, America does. So if we really wanted to get tough, if we really had the administration do it, you make a phone call and say, hey, all them soybeans you got coming to you, we're going to stop them. All that iron you got and steel you've got coming and all those shrimp, guess what? There's 100% tariff. I mean, there's some things you can put in place that would just cripple their economy. And they don't want that. And we don't want to do that, but that's the kind of game you have to play because, you know, they can come here and buy a property, but we can't go there and buy a property. They can come here and do – we give them special rights on stuff and tax breaks and incentives. We haven't done it here, but I'm sure across this nation there's plenty that can be pointed out that I'm aware of we haven't done it here. They would never do it in China because you can't own anything in China. When people look at something, they go, oh, well, it's so-and-so company in China. The government owns it.
Sure.
Don't confuse that. They're totally different creatures. So we have got to cripple them. And whether it's deliberate or by accident, right now they're crippling themselves. I mean, I can go in. I've been in Central America. I've been studying, trying to fix some issues down there. You got China throwing money around down in Central America, building ports and Panama Canal.
Yeah,
and the canal. And we repair that canal out of Mobile. The Corps of Engineers runs that. So now what they've actually built, we're having to go back in and tear out and fix because it's just crappy work. I mean, the Chinese, everything's cheap. Everything's cheap that they do. So there's some real problems brewing there. And Charlie that called in a while ago, he does an incredible job sending me articles. He didn't waste my time with a whole bunch of stuff. But when he finds something that really hits home, he'll send it to me. And I take time and read it.
We're talking about military realpolitik, looking at your op-ed the other day, about 2 years since our departure. I don't know what other word to use for a congressman from Afghanistan. There's 13 dead and so many others left behind.
Yeah, we'll never know the true numbers from that also. You know, they're talking about wanting to get, you know, another $24 million for Ukraine. We'll go back and vote on that. I suggest we give it to them. Just let them know it's sitting over there in Afghanistan and go pick it up. But they're going to have a hard sell on me on any more money for Ukraine, just for the record, before your phone lights up. But Afghanistan was such a debacle. I mean, we left people behind. We were doing things behind the scenes with civilian military people, ex-civilian military people in this town. They were getting people out of Afghanistan behind the scenes that there's no records of it. And we're talking about Americans. We're not talking about just Afghan folks that helped us.
Right.
And they were important.
Those people.
They were important.
Yes.
Those people helped us. We owe them.
Yeah.
So those
people kept friends of mine alive. And I know that, a personal account, I know of what you're talking about, those veterans took their own money.
Yes, sir, they did.
And got these people. These are people who live right here, y'all.
That's the American way.
Yeah, and got those people out.
Yep.
They said we could not leave them behind. So they had to go.
Pods like that all over this country that were able to do that. Because we couldn't get the government to do anything. The Biden administration just shut us down. So we were taking names and information and actually feeding it to these little small independent organizations. They were getting them out.
Yeah.
I never asked any questions how they did it. I don't want to know.
Contractors have their methods.
Well, God bless them.
That's right.
God bless them.
But it should have been the job. Well, yeah, it should have been done before. Well, we'd rehash this whole thing.
We'd still have Bagram. One American lady we had over there was a decoder. And they left her behind, and they got her out. No names. Right. I don't want to get into that, but they got her out. I mean, that was the biggest thrill of my life when I got the phone call, said, you know, she's sitting, but she was in a friendly country.
So with that being said, did the people that made those mistakes, and remember, I think it was the report came out that, there wasn't really those mistakes, and the president didn't know this and that. Remember, that was like an NSA report came out a couple months ago, pretty much just point the finger every which way, but at the president. Has anybody learned their lesson there that was involved in that?
No. Military-wise, no. No, I think the commandant.
There's memo that goes out and says, we really screwed this up from the executive branch. We screwed this up. We're not going to let this happen again.
There's way too much testosterone and egos in Washington, D.C. for that to ever happen.
How do you get better if you don't learn from a mistake?
Well, from a military standpoint, you think they would because that's the way military gets stronger. Mm-hmm. They make mistakes and go back and fix it. And, you know, what was the Marine Corps saying? Improvise.
Mm-hmm.
They start improvising. So,
and they overcome.
But again, this administration, we're not going to see any of that. They really don't care. If it's not an environmental issue, they're really not tuned in.
Is that why you're waging war on beach mice?
Well, I think the beach mice is a great example of what's going on in this country. The environmentalists have figured out they can get, I think we got 157 different endangered species in the state of Alabama. Well, the environmentalists, and nobody's a bigger environmentalist than you and I, And I'm quick to tell any environmentalist, I own the wetlands behind my house. Mm-hmm. I deliberately bought those wetlands to save those wetlands from being... I challenge anybody else that wants to step up and tell me I'm not an environmentalist. What did you buy? Where's your money at? You put your money where your mouth's at? But they'll use this beach mouse, for example, and they'll raise tons of money. They want a five-year study here, and they want money from the federal government to do studies. And it's all a way to raise money and shut down legitimate business and growth that should be there. And the beach mouse is a great example. Well, it's just a place to start.
No, you were saying last week, though, that it should be delisted?
Should be delisted. Do you know how fast rats multiply? I mean, the fact they're on the beach doesn't make any difference. They're still a rat. They still multiply by the thousands. You take two and start doing the multiplications. I mean, it's like pigs. It's just like pigs, but there's more rats than there are pigs. So, you know, but when you can shut down an economy, I'm told by developers over there, between rats and turtles, and I'm all for protecting the turtles now. I'm big on the turtles. But between the rats and the turtle, they add 40% to the cost of a job. The condo you buy is 40%.
Wait. 40% of the cost is in compliance with ESA?
Yeah, they have to pay all these environmental groups to come in and do environmental studies about the rats, and they set up hundreds of traps and try to figure out how many are there, and they do the numbers, and it's submitted, and they may sit 2, 3, 4 years, 5 years. We got one that's on the 7th year. With all money borrowed, paying interest on it, but they can't start because there's a rat. And this is true nationwide. It's not just here. But I think we ought to take that 157 of those creatures and shellfish and other things, and we need to look at them. Have they made a recovery? Because if they made a recovery, let's take them off. Mm-hmm. A good example is a grizzly bear out west.
Yeah.
Through natural resource, we had to take them off the endangered species in Wyoming. They were killing cattle.
Yeah, but what happens there, Congressman? I mean, I've talked about this. So it's a success story, the recovery of the grizzlies there.
But
wolves. And then you delist them, and then it's supposed to go be remanded to be managed in a capacity in those states. And then you have the lawsuits come in. And now the grizzly still, it's still almost like it has ESA protection in Montana.
So I had one of the, when I first got elected to county commissioner, I had one of the old environmentalists here. I don't know why she told me, but she told me all how they use these endangered species to get what they want, which is a project shut down and stopped.
Right.
And that's where my knowledge comes from somebody literally telling me how they do it. So I'm not saying that the mouse does not need to be protected. I'm saying we got plenty of them. I don't know why we're protecting them. Somebody's got to explain this to me. Just because they get on a list 60 years later doesn't mean they should still be on the list.
All right. Coming back, more with Congressman Carl. We'll take your phone calls and text at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Congressman, this texter says, give me $5 million and I'll start a beach mouse breeding program. I want to cut in on that.
Yeah, well, there was a study done at Auburn University, and they were talking about how they'd multiplied. Then they had to get a special permit to put them down. There were thousands of them by the time
why don't they just come turn them loose on the beach?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, I'm just wondering. A lot of questions here from the Ascension Technologies text line. This one from Marv. What is the good congressman doing to help the Mobile River Bridge project?
Well, it's all in the governor's lap. It's all in the state's lap right now. But the governor's office told me the first pylons will be driven this fall. I think that has been changed to this winter, which is closer than next year. So we're getting closer. I think the money is about to be certified and lined up and. I think we're going to see it. I'm feeling pretty good about it right now. I think when the both sides of the bay came together and worked with the governor, I think it's beginning to come together. It's going to work. I was over in Baldwin County all last week driving back and forth. I get it.
Well, it seemed more real to me. It was last week or the week before, Mayor McMillan from Spanish Fort was on with me, and he's saying, what are we going to do about the causeway? So when I hear that kind of worry, that means it's real. When he goes, what are we going to do with all the additional traffic on the causeway and all that, at least that seems now we're getting into nuts and bolts and not just high fancy talk.
Yep, I agree. I did earmark some money to expand and fix up the causeway to improve it a little bit because we do expect more traffic there. The bridge itself will be built over the top of the bridge, that the bayway that exists now. It'll be like an umbrella coming up in between the bridge and actually fanning out. So we'll still continue to use the bayway. Engineers have put
double-decker bridge.
Well, it'll look that way until they tear the old bridge out. They'll haul that out, make some incredible snapper.
Yeah, I was about to say, we're going to do just like the bridge rubble was from the Dolphin Island Bridge back in the day.
Heck yeah, I hope so.
Okay, I like that. Like that, Congressman. We'll talk more about that. I'm doing everything I can not to just talk snapper the whole time. Jessica says, well, what does Congressman Carl think about Hillary running if Biden pulls the dementia card? She's been really quiet, which is scary.
I think she has made enough of the Democrats mad with her attitude. I cannot see her getting into this race with... I just can't see her doing it.
I was going to say, speaking of bridges, Bobby says, as we're talking about bridges, what your Gulf Shores Bridge, what's your opinion?
I don't have an opinion. I really don't. I have not followed that close enough. I know that the state, the DOT director, Senator Elliott, I mean, all of them have had a piece of that and have had strong conversation back and forth, but I really have not gotten close to that project. I'm trying to keep up with my own problems.
This texture. Okay, Mr. Carl, what are your plans for infrastructure improvements? Bayway and Highway 43 from downtown Mobile to Satsuma is horrible. I know the Bayway tollway is federal and 43 is state, but we need representatives to know we are PO'd about being taxed without representation. I mean, the bypass from 158 to the state line is cool, but what other significant projects are in line? I'm a big fan, so hope this message gets through to you.
So when the federal government builds a road, i.e. I-10, they turn that over to the state. It becomes the property of the state. The state is responsible for it now. With that said, federal government still collects taxes, a fuel surcharge tax. I didn't find out this week. They charge an additional 10% on top of every truck sale. So you buy a new truck, whatever you sell it, whatever you buy it for, $200,000, for example, there's a federal tax on top of that of 10%. So all that money comes back to the state yearly. They'll give them a lump sum to the state. Now, what the state does with it is the state's business. And they may spend it on other roads in the state, or they may spend it just on I-10. So our money's coming back, especially in the state of Alabama. We get more money back than the state of Alabama actually spends into the federal system. So people ask, what are you going to do? I'm not in a position to do what you want, which is give you a bridge. If we had a hurricane blow up in here and blow the bridge down, that's when the federal government would step up and restore it. But to improvements. Yeah,
which is, we've talked about that for a long time. At a county commission level, I think you and I talked about it would be bad for everything else, but if the storm knocked out the bridge, then the feds would pay for it, just like it did over by Pensacola.
Sure, because it becomes a defense interest of this country to keep the flow going to and from. Again, the federal government is, on the infrastructure side, we give money to the state to get these projects done. And, you know, the state of Alabama is going to do what the state of Alabama wants to do.
Speaking of money, we've got a few minutes left here.
Okay.
So with all the wrangling that went through with the budget default avoidance and all that, the growth, though, the tamping down of the growth of government is not enough to beat back the fact that, I mean, I had a story the other day, we're within 20 years of having the interest on the debt be 6% of GDP. I think it was 25 years out. I mean, am I the only one?
You're going to see us voting on 12 different packages. We worked hard. Some of those packages are as high as 5 or 6% cut. Some of them are 30% cut. I can tell you the one committee I sit on, foreign ops, we cut that budget by 30%. That's every dollar spent overseas. Anything outside the continental United States.
Is that where we give money to different countries too?
We do.
Because people are asking, hey, why do we give them money? And I know there's sometimes there's a reason, but why do we give them money when we're paying all this interest.
I got it. I get it. But we have to keep the influence. For example, in Central South America,
okay,
we have to keep that influence because it's right at our door. What do we do down there? We feed children. What we didn't do, we didn't continue financing trans social issues that was in the budget, and thus you get 30% reduction.
So there was that much.
It wasn't all for that. Okay. But that's the type of stuff that we really targeted and went after. I mean, if it truly helped people. You know, feeding them with peanut butter and or helping mm-hmm. them with an irrigation issue to get clean water. We helped them with that.
Okay.
We need to help them with that. But with all these social issues that this previous House group really pushed, I mean, they pushed, you have no idea, all that's cut. So with that said, we've got 12 bills. We'll be voting on each one of them separately. It's going to be a dogfight up there. We got a handful of Republicans I truly think want to prove they can shut the government down. And but we've got to convince them that it's not the right thing to do, and it's not. Though we just got downgraded because you know the world's watching us, mm-hmm. and they're worried we're going to get shut down too.
There it is. By the way, too, just to add in, this person said 12%, Congressman Carl, on the top of trucks and trailers. 12%. There you go.
Excuse me.
Even
I
more.
Apologize. Yes.
Even more. Good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
All right. AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl, our guest, coming back hour number two. Your calls and text at 343-0106.